It's just the Rav Shlita. Thank you very, very much for those beautiful, warm words. I'm really blown away by the crowd here tonight. I wasn't expecting such a big Eilam. Like you said, it's a weeknight, and it's the summer is just over, holiday weekend, and I thought we'd maybe have a mezuman maybe together, and if that, I once had a rav that I was close with, and he was a rav in a community. It was in Laurelton, if you know where that is, not far from Kennedy Airport. The whole neighborhood changed, so he sort of lost his position, but he used to tell me that he started, when he first came in as a rav, he started to give a weekly shiur to women. And the first week, he had like a whole room full of women. And then the next week, it was like three quarters of a room of women. And then the next week, it was a half a room of women. He says, eventually, it was a shaila of yichud. We have to stop it. But, that's what I thought. I thought it would be a shaila of yichud to come here and see such a beautiful Eilam that comes together for Elul and to be uplifted, to be Nisairer from Musar and for Tshuva is really, I think it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. This time of year, the Musar Svarim say that it's important to make a Kabbalah, to be Makabal on oneself something that they want to improve in, something in life that, we all know what that thing might be, something that we know that we're weak in, and perhaps we could change. And that sounds a little scary, it sounds radical, because nobody really wants to change, everybody sort of is happy with the status quo. And if you're thinking that way, then that's good, because the Balei Musar continue and they say that when you do make a change, when you do decide that there's something I think that I should be altering, a drop in my life, the smaller the better. If you do something too radical, if you say, okay, from now on I am going to wear 10 pairs of tzitzis every day, because that's what I feel I need to do, that's going to last about 3 minutes and then it's going to not happen. If a person is able to make a very, 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 very little Kabbalah, the smaller the better, that's doable, that's something that is really, really important for ourselves, and it's important for Hashem. It shows that we're really trying to rectify certain things, we're trying to improve, and we're doing something honest, and we're doing something real, and we're doing something that hopefully will have a positive impact on other things in our life as well. If we start with one thing, hopefully there'll be like a domino effect, and other things will eventually fall into place as well. So, for example, Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik B'Kadosh Levracha, was asked, did you make a Kabbalah this year? And, not this year, but, that year that the story happened. And he says, yes, I did. So they were expecting Rav Shach to say something, this year I'm going to Chazer Shas three times. And they asked him, would you mind if the Rashiva would share with us, what was your Kabbalah? He says, it's a little personal, I'd rather not. He said, come on, just share it, tell us. He says, okay, I'll tell you what it was. He says, I made a Kabbalah that when I bench, I will bench out of a bencher. He says, and the Kabbalah is not even for the whole year. I want a bench out of a bencher from Rosh Hashanah until Hanukkah. A few months. And it's not when I go away from home, because sometimes I'm not at home and, I don't have a bencher on me. But I'm eating, so what am I going to do? The Kabbalah is when I'm home, when I have a bencher at home for 3 months from Rosh Hashanah till Hanukkah, I'm going to bench out of a bencher. That was my Kabbalah for this year. That's Rav Shach. If that's Rav Shach's Kabbalah, we could probably, do something a lot less than that. And that would be chashuv. But the point is that Musar is not supposed to be like a big mountain that we stare at and get nervous from and, you know, and just like run away. Musar is something that we should find something that's doable and just do it. And not make such a big deal about it. Just find something that is as small can be, and that's doable, that I feel I'm comfortable accepting. I feel that I could do it. I feel my wife, you know, would not want to leave me if I come home and tell her this is what I'm doing. And, you know, my kids can handle it, and everything could go on as is. I just, it's something like a personal Kabbalah that I could make that will improve myself a little bit, and I'll feel good about myself, and I'll, and I think it will have, you know, far-reaching effects with other things in my life. I'll tell you what I was makabel on myself last year. I'm not Rav Shach at all, okay? Let's get that, let's put that out there right away. But I'll tell you what my Kabbalah was, and I'll tell you why I was makabel it, and I think it really, I really stuck to it, not all the time, but I would say a lot of the time, and I feel it really helped me, and I think it's not a bad idea. And in fact, I said it last year, and a lot of guys in Lander actually did it as well, and they did it a lot better than I did it. There's Yerushalmi in Chagiga. The Yerushalmi is in Perek Aleph, first Perek of Chagiga, and it quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Tezayin. And the pasuk says, "Va'osi azavu, you abandoned me, v'yastayrosi lo shamaru." And not only did you abandon me, but you didn't keep my Torah. And so Chazal say, "Halavai osi azavu, v'tayrosi shamaru, shehamar sheba machziram lamutav." The Gemara is darshaning this pasuk. But basically, whatever the pasuk, however you want to plug it into the pasuk, this is basically what the Gemara is saying. Hashem is saying through this pasuk in Yirmiyahu that halavai, you should abandon me. Don't believe. Don't stick to me. I'm fine with you not being so into me, says Hashem. Just hold on to the Torah. Keep the Torah. Don't, even if it's a godless Torah, even if it's you know, it doesn't come along with me, that's okay. Keep the Torah. Why? Shahamar sheba machziram lamutav. Because the light that's emanating from the Torah, if you're keeping the Torah, the light that shines out of the Torah will automatically bring you back and better you. Meaning that tshuva is something that the Torah will draw you into. The Torah will lead you to Torah. We say this in davening every day, right? We say, what do we say? What? Hashivena avinu l'sar secha, thank you. Hashivena avinu l'sar secha, bring me back to your Torah. Hashivena avinu l'sar secha, karvenu makinu l'avayda secha, and tir avayda, v'chazirenu b'shuva shleim l'fnecha. You keep the Torah, you're going to do tshuva. Keep the Torah, keep the mitzvahs of Torah, learn Torah. Even if you don't really believe in God, just keep the Torah and you'll come back to Hashem, because the Torah will yank you, the Torah will pull you back to it. The ma'ar sheba machzir mamutav, the light of the Torah itself will be like a dazzling light that will suck you in, back into the world of Hashem, the world of Kedusha. What we see from this Gemara is that there's a certain light of Torah, and if a person is able to bask in that light of Torah, that is a great vehicle to do tshuva. If we really want to come together during El and figure out how we're going to do tshuva, it's very easy. The Gemara is telling us, somehow tap into the light of Torah. Now, the Rav was saying, the real way to tap into the light of Torah, and that is getting a chavrusa or going to a shir, and amelus hatayra, yegias hatayra, like haravanya and Torah, whatever you want to use, any type of the adjectives and the verbs that you want to use to describe what it takes to really learn Torah. That's the way you're going to get the marsha b'tayr. We know that feeling when you're able to learn with a chavrus and you're getting into it, or you're going to a geshmak ashir or to a great drasha, and you know there's something special. There's something that is enlightening to that, and it's something like it's something otherworldly. It's something that really a person could feel Kedusha from. And that's great. That's definitely the Pashut Pshat in the Gemara. I like taking shortcuts because it's hard to learn, and this is not saying that you shouldn't learn. You definitely should learn. But in case you're wondering, okay, I like what he's saying, the Marsh of Atshuva, if I could somehow tap into Torah, that would help my Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom Adin, the whole year would be enlightened. That's great, but, is there an easier way to do it? Is there an alternate way for me, short of actually breaking my head and learning every single day, is there another way for me to get the Marsh of Atshuva that will lure me into the world of Tshuva, that will help out my whole life? And I think that there is. Again, not as a substitute, chas v'shalom, for learning. You have to learn. But additionally, or if we can't learn so much, what do you do? How do you get that marsheba to be machzuyu lamutav? If you look in Parshas Kisavei, the pasuk says, in Perek Chav Zayin, pasuk Chavav, Arar asher lo yakim es divrei hatayra hazois lasois oisam. It's one of those sukkim with the arars, har grizim, har eval. One of the arars, one of the list of the, I think it's 12 arars, is cursed is the person that doesn't lift up the taira to do it, or keep the taira. L'kayim es divrei hatayra. So the Ramban brings a different Yerushalmi in Saita that asks, V'chiyesh Torah Nefelas? What does it mean, Ar Asher Lo Yakim? Cursed is the person that doesn't lift up the Torah. Was the Torah on the floor? What does that mean? That you don't pick up the Torah? Is there a Torah Nefelas? This is the Kasha of the Yerushalmi. So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon ben Yakim Aymer, Zeh HaChazim. This is the chazan, which also is confusing. What does that mean? It's the chazan picking up the tire from the floor? So the Ramban explains on this pasuk, V'lin nira al hachazan she'enai mekayim mekim sefer tire al atzibar laharis p'nei kisi vase lakel. The chazan is the person in the shul that was charged, that was honored with lifting up the tire, which is what we call hagbah. Asher lo yakim is if you don't do hagba on the taira. There is a mitzvah to be magbia the taira, says the Ramban, to show the tzibor, the pneiksi, say the face of the writing of the taira, which is what we're doing when we're doing hagba, so that everybody is supposed to, and sometimes a guy does hagba and he just lifts it up like this and he sits down. That's not right. You have to show the entire tzibor. You have to do like a 360, showing the entire tzibur, the pnei ksivasei. They should all see the words of the Torah. As Maseches Seferim says, Shemagbien Eisei, Umar pnei ksivasei lehem, Ha'imdim li'imino, it's about people on the right-hand side, people on the left-hand side, and in the front of the shul, on the back of the shul, everybody should see the Torah by Hagba. Shem mitzvah l'chal ha'noshim v'ha'noshim l'hareis ha'kosov. It's a mitzvah for everybody, men and women. Sometimes, there are people that say women shouldn't look at the Torah at certain times. It's not true. The Ramban says everybody, men, women, everybody should see the Torah. Lirais haksiv l'chroya v'loimar v'zayis ha'tarah shar samaysha. Like what we say, v'zayis ha'tarah shar samaysha. That's the pasuk that everybody's supposed to say when they see the face of the Torah, the ksiva of the Torah. And if you don't do that, that's our Asher LaYakim, Mr. Be'at Torah says. You have to physically lift up Yakim. You have to be making the Torah. You have to show the Torah to everybody. Now the Shulchan Aruch in the Ber Hetev and the Mishnah Berurah brings in Arizal. And the Arizal says that he used to be Mistakel Hetev Isis at Sheyeh Makiram L'kreisam. You ever see these guys in shul, like when by Hagba they run over to Sefer Torah and they're like looking at it and you think like they're crazy? It's actually an Arizal. The Arizal says that it's very important when there's Hagbah, when you're being Magbia the Sefer Torah, that you should go to the Sefer Torah, look at the ICS up close, not from a distance, from the back of the shul. You know, you can't really, you could see, you know, unless you have really, really good eyesight, you know, maybe you could sort of see, like, you know, something in the Torah, but you don't see the letters. You have to go really close to the Torah, so close that you can actually make out words of the Torah. And if you're able to see the Torah in that way, via Aimer, and the Arizal used to say, listen to the Lashon of the Arizal. The Arizal used to say, Shahaya nimshach ar gadol al ha'adam ayidei histaklusa b'sefer Torah mikarev ad sheyuchal likra esayis heitiv. If you go so close to the Torah, they're able to read these letters, there's an ar gadol, there's a tremendous light that you're able to bring upon yourself when you do that. Meaning that by a person, by Hagbah, going over to a Sefer Torah and looking at those letters up close, so much so that you could read it, when you do that, you are surrounded, you are drawing into your neshama, into yourself, a mar gadol, an ar gadol, a tremendous light of Torah. It sort of is echoing, I think, the Yerushalmi, that the ar sheba Torah, the mar sheba is machzir lemutav. If you're able to any way tap into the Torah, you could tap into it by learning for a long time. That's one beautiful, that's the best way to do it. But a simpler way, if you want to just at least get some mar sheba, if you're mekabel on yourself li neder, to go over to the Sefer Torah during Hagbah and look closely at those ICAs, to get the ar, that R is going to change your life. That's going to bring you closer. There's something about that R of the ICS of the Sefer Torah that you read up close during Hagbah. You're able to tap into that R Gadol, and that will be the first step of tshuva. I was mekabel on myself last year to try to do this bli neder to the best of my ability, and I said it in Lander, and at least at the beginning of the year, there was literally a mob scene by Hagbah. Every single time it was already like a joke. It was like in the other Rebbeim, they didn't hear my drasha, so they didn't know what was going on. They thought it was like a fire drill or something. Like all of a sudden, everybody started making a beeline to the, and everybody's like staring and like pushing and shoving, like to get close to the Sefer Torah. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And I think that it attaches a person to the Sefer Torah and to Torah Bechlau when a person is able to at least look at those letters and know that the Arizal, no one short of the Arizal said that you're able to tap into R. It's whatever it means, but there's an R that's Machzir Lemutov. I want to share a story with you that I read in a certain book. I think it's a gorgeous story. And I think it will, in a way, be very instructive in this that we're talking about this evening. There was a Jew who was a European Yid, and he came to America about 10 years before this story happened. And he was very ambitious, and he was a brilliant guy. And within a short amount of time, his business started flourishing. He came without a shirt on his back, and, you know, like many of these, you know, Europeans. And before you know it, you know, he started building up a business, and it went, you know, crazy. And like, he became worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. And 10 years later, when he was a really very, very chashuv, established balabas, he decided, okay, now it's time for me to build a house, you know, kidabai, like a real house that everybody will know that I've arrived. I'm not one of these greenhorns anymore that don't, you know, that I made it, and this is the house that's going to be my trophy house that everybody will know without a shadow of a doubt how much I'm worth and how brilliant I am, how successful I am. And so he decided, he was a very, you know, everything he did with, you know, with everything that he had, and he did things, made very quick decisions, and he stood by them, and he decided, okay, he called some brokers, I'm looking in a certain neighborhood, and I need a very large piece of land because I'm going to be building a big mansion, and all of a sudden the brokers started jumping all over him and finding this piece of land, that piece of land, and everyone had a mile and a chisaron. Finally, he settled on one huge tract of land, and he quickly closed on it, and that was the first phase. A huge acres and acres of land, and then the next phase was he hired the fanciest architect to build him this monstrosity of a house, a huge mansion with like who knows how many bedrooms and bathrooms and all these things, and he found that perfect architect, a very chashuv, a French architect, and he designed it with a certain European flair. And then he needed a contractor, and he found a very chashuv a contractor, and very quickly this they started digging up the foundation and pouring concrete and cement, and the house started taking shape, and it took, you know, a shorter amount of time than anybody thought that he, but he was very pushy and he pushed through. And finally, you know, everything was perfect. The windows and the doors and the doorknobs and everything was mamish perfect. And he was so proud of it. He made a big Chanukah Sabayis and, you know, he invited the whole community there. And he was very, very, very proud of this accomplishment of his. 2 weeks after the Chanukah Sabayis, there was a knock on the door. And he opens up the door. And it was this very waspy, Gayish woman. And she introduces herself. Her name is Mrs. Winters. And he says, "Very nice to meet you. What can I do for you?" She says, "I'll tell you what you could do for me. You can get rid of this monstrosity of the house." He says, "What do you mean, get rid of this monstrosity of the house? I built it. I bought the land." She said, "Well, I beg to differ." And she pulls out the deed to her house. And sure enough, her house, which was next door, really was a very big property. And she took him outside for a tour. And she says that my property line actually runs right through the center of your house. And he looked at the paper. He's a very smart guy. He hopped right away that she was right. Apparently, the real estate broker probably scammed him. Or something happened wrong. I don't know what happened to the title insurance. Maybe he didn't have title insurance. Something happened. But at the end of the day, he realized that he had no choice. He says, "What can I do?" So he says, "You know, okay, I'll give you money. Money solves all problems, right?" She says, "Do I look like a woman that needs money?" She was wearing like a fur coat. She had a limo driver waiting in the front. Money doesn't mean it. I want this thing knocked down. Just knock it down to the ground. Get the wrecking ball, knock it down. It's my land that you built on, and too bad." He didn't know what to do. He hired a team of lawyers, and they sent her letters, and she had an equally hush of a team of lawyers, and returning the letters, and, you know, you have 2 weeks to knock it down, or else we're going to, you know, sue you, and this and that. And he didn't know what to do. Here he is. He built this gorgeous house. He spent tens of millions of dollars on it, and, you know, he has no choice. I mean, it seems like he was at an impasse. There's no way out. She didn't want his money. She just wanted him to get rid of the house. He was a Talmud, this Yid, of Reb Shimon Shkop. Shimon Shkop was the great Rosh Yeshiva from Europe, and he was visiting America. He ended up being a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University for a while. But he was one of the great Rosh Yeshivas in Europe, one of the primary Talmidim of Chaim Brisker. And Reb Shimon, he found out, was visiting America. So the first time that he was able to sleep semi-comfortably since this whole fiasco started was the night before Reb Shimon was going to come, because he knew that he would go to his Rosh Yeshiva, his brilliant Rosh Yeshiva, and he would get some Das Torah about what to do. He was going crazy. So the next morning, he sets out bright and early, goes to the place that Reb Shimon is staying at, and he says, "Rebbe, I have a big problem." So Reb Shimon says, "What's the problem?" He says, "Well, you know, I came to America, and as you know, I was very successful. I built a business. I built this house. This woman comes to me, and she's right. I built on her land, and she wants me to knock it down. I don't know what to do. What should I do?" So Reb Shimon strokes his beard, and he thinks, and he says, the only thing I could think of is tomorrow morning is Thursday morning. It's going to be Kriya Satira. Says, you're going to buy Hagba tomorrow morning, and when you're being Magbia the Taira, you're going to follow the Arizal, you're going to stare at the Isis, the Mar Sheba, the R of the Isis, this light that comes out of the Isis are going to do something for you. They're going to fill you with Kedusha, and somehow, some way, this problem is going to resolve itself through the R of Taira. It's the only way the problem is going to go away. So he listened to his rabbi. The next morning he went, and there was the shul that he davened. They bid on the aliyas, on the kibudim. He bought hagva, and he stared intently at the ICS. And then they did glila, and he felt much better right away. As soon as he was able to look at the ICS of the Torah, it's like the whole world somehow faded into oblivion. And he somehow felt that there was going to be a good result to this problem. That afternoon, I didn't make the story up, this is a true story. That afternoon, the doorbell rings to the house. Mrs. Winters is standing there, and she said, I've had a change of heart. She says, perhaps I've been too aggressive with you. After all, you didn't know that you were building on my property. It was all unintentional. You have a right to live in your house. I've changed my mind, and my lawyers will be in contact with your lawyers, and we will come up with some financial settlement, and everything will be okay. Is that okay with you? And he couldn't believe it. He was just in a daze, and that was the end of the story. But this is what it means to be able to tap into the R of Torah. Torah has the answer to everything. The world that we live in, the world that we're surrounded by, is really, it's a world, and we have to reckon with the world. We have to go to work, we have to make money, we have to pay our taxes, we have to do what we have to do. But the real world for a Jew, for a Yid, is Torah. And if a person is able to tap into Torah, then all the rest of the world will be much more manageable. The mitzvah of Hagba is a mitzvah that you lift up the Torah and you basically say, this is what counts. V'zayis ha-Torah asher asam Moshe. This Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave l'fnei b'nei Yisrael al-pi Hashem b'yad Moshe, this is what counts to me. And when you look at the Torah and you say, this is what my life is, this is what my obedience is to, this is what will shape and form and inform my life, that statement, that declaration of the Zayis HaTorah, as you're looking at the ICS up close, is the greatest way of starting a day. It's the greatest way of having a light up the darkness of this world. We know that feeling that we get from working hard over a sugya, from listening to a chabura, from being mavir sedra with Rashi, from listening to a shir, from saying a chiddush. We know that feeling that we have when we tap into Torah in any form. This is an easy way of tapping in. This is something that the Arizal tells us has R. It's easy. It's not a big deal. And if we're able to tap into Torah, then that will be transformative. That will change the entire way that we are living our life. Our day at work will be different if we're able to have that glow of Torah on our face. Our families will be different. Our Shabbos will be different. Our Yontif will be different, because any connection to the light of Torah that we're able to take in is priceless. So it's just a suggestion. You could think of your own things. Think of your own Kabbalists, this Elul, to go forward in Tufshin Pei with. Maybe it's a good time to consider, if you're not already, to start the Rav mentioned Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi is starting January 1st, 2020, New Year's. there's no greater mechayev every day than the daf. You have a connection to the Marsha Batayra. I've been giving a daf yamishir personally in Lander for about 14 years. We're about to finish the second machzer. That's a pretty difficult thing with yeshiva bachrim, for them to wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning. And it's not always the same yeshiva bachrim because guys come, guys go. Seth Fagan was the first Talmud in the daf, together with a few other yechidim, and he's still doing the daf, right? But it's a great thing to consider now. It's a great thing to consider to go to a shir or to learn with a chavrusa or to listen to it on the internet. It's an amazing mechayev every single day to have a connection to Torah. But I'm giving you something really, really simple in addition to all of that. And it's something to consider that it's not a big deal, especially in a shul that's a relatively small base medrash. You could probably do it even from your seat. But just to be cognizant of the fact that by Hagba, not to be looking in a sefer, not to be staring out a window, and not to be checking your email, but to look at the Torah, to look at the words in the Torah up close, and to try to see those beautiful ices, and to allow the kedusha, the R of the ices, to influence you, to impact you, just by looking and by concentrating, by focusing intently on those words. It's really a life-changing experience if you understand how powerful it is, which I think the story illustrates, how it could change everything. It could go from an unsolvable problem, and the light of the Torah could change that. I guess the hour is late, and I just want to take this opportunity to thank the Rav once again for having me here, and it's really a pleasure. Really, just to be in a, you feel like how special this Eilam is. I'm the kind of the Rav that he has such a beautiful Eilam to be mashpia on, and you could the reputation of this minion precedes it, and everybody knows that it's a place that serious Bnei Torah come to continue their aliyah, and halavai you should all have a wonderful new year with all of the brachas that are metzuyas b'Torah. You and your Rav should all have a closer connection to one another and to the Torah. And mitzvah Hashem, we should all be zeicha this year to only yeshuas and refuas, harnasa, nechama, and only good things. Lanu l'chol b'nei Yisrael. Have a good year.